This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good afternoon and welcome to Enterprise Biz Bytes. My name is Rich Bradbury. I'm joined in the studio by
Majida Hashim,
Arvind Yuvaraj.
Stories today, we're going to be talking a little bit about a self-care app that helps with burnout. Arvind will be talking about that. Disney have got on the blockchain bandwagon, we might say, a little bit about how the Royal Navy in the Netherlands are working on 3D scanning some of their components for their ships. And we're going to wrap up with a story about Spotify and the music you loved in high school, and of course some events that you might want to attend this week. So Arvind, let me just read the first paragraph of this story. It's 3 p.m., your eyes are growing tired, your legs have gone numb from your uncomfortable office chair, and your stomach is growling. You've somehow made it through the majority of the workday without taking a break to eat lunch, drink water, or even use the bathroom. This is my life.
That sounds so familiar.
In two paragraphs.
Every single day.
Every single day. What is this app, and why should we be aware of it?
Yeah. One is about the app, but then the other thing I wanted to highlight is how the app actually came to be. So that's a more interesting story of how Amber Disco, she's actually a former staffer from Hillary Clinton's 2016 campaign.
Okay.
And she made this app because she was personally completely burnt out after the whole campaign, and then we know how it turned out, so that made it even worse for her. So she developed something called Allo. Allo is a self-help or self-care app, more like. The app tells you when to take breaks to go use the bathroom, to take breaks and have a glass of water, to just go outside for a while, or to stop looking at your screen for 5 minutes, stuff like that. And because it became quite popular, she also had like an accompanying Twitter account. She actually had the Twitter account first, and then she was tweeting out all these things to her followers to, you know, take a break, you know, you look after yourself, stuff like that. And then she wanted to develop the app.
She was basically a Twittering parent.
She was. But she wanted to teach people how to be their own proper parent.
Okay.
You know, in a way. So she says that she hit rock bottom. She wasn't taking care of herself. She wasn't drinking any water. She was skipping meals. And she didn't notice until it was too late, and then it was affecting her physically. So what she did was she went to Kickstarter. She wanted to make fund the project with about $40,000. That's about 169,000 ringgit. But immediately she was faced with a lot of backlash from Twitter users who started to question the campaign.
Right. I mean, that was going to be one of my points. You know, do you really need somebody to remind you to go to the toilet, to clean your teeth, to have a glass of water?
Yeah, that's exactly it. So people were going like, you know, do you need someone to constantly prompt you to do all these things? But her logic is, for the people who already do these things, they have the resources and the kind of career or the job that allows them to be that flexible and to look after themselves that well. But there are some people out there who have jobs that are completely, that are so taxing that they forget to look after themselves in the process. And she had that job, because you can kind of imagine what kind of workload she would have had being in Clinton's campaign. So her response was that, I'm hoping the negativity and dumb jokes on Twitter will open people's eyes, that just because you may not need help doesn't mean millions of other people feel the same.
I mean, we know that the U.S. in particular is suffering from what they're calling a stress epidemic. There was a report by the American Psychological Society, Stress in America 2017, Technology and Media. The rise of being constantly connected has increased stress levels since the early 2000s, particularly amongst millennials. There's a quote here, self-care is really becoming critical. It's a coping tactic and a survival skill. It's a way to prevent illness, particularly mental illnesses. I mean, we've spoken about this a few times before. This always on, always connected, never having a break kind of mentality is not doing us any good.
No, and it's normally the millennials, right?
Right.
But the thing is, she's getting the backlash from millennials themselves. So it says that the millennials are the ones affected the most by this whole social media, being connected to social media thing. But then the ones who started trolling her on her Kickstarter campaign were largely from the millennial group. So there was one time where it got so bad that they made fake donations to her Kickstarter campaign.
Why would they do that?
Yeah, so they made fake donations and then they pulled back, and then she had to scramble last minute because Kickstarter doesn't pay out for partially funded campaigns.
Right.
I guess she got over that, and then there was so much of kind of hatred towards this tool that it didn't actually make sense to disco at all. Because she says that millennials are the main demographic for the tool that she's making. So while there is a huge number of millennials supporting Allo, there's a large number that don't want to be, that don't need an app like this in their life. And she's saying it's because millennials are known as largely self-absorbed people. That's her explanation. I don't know how far that's true, but it's kind of it's kind of weird that someone would go to the extent of trying to sabotage someone else's campaign just because they didn't believe in something, right? The good thing is she was actually able to fund the campaign, and then she says that the tool is actually coming out later this year, and it'll be free. But then for people who want to customize the app or the aesthetics of the app, it'll be like 50 ringgit a year or $12 US.
Is this an app that you would get?
Yeah, the free version, yeah, I would.
Majida?
We would actually try it out because we do have cases of I forget to drink water.
Yeah.
I mean, to go to the bathroom part, I think that's a little bit far-fetched. But to remind you to hydrate, I mean, we've had cases even here in the office where you work so hard and you forget to drink water and you fall sick easily. And all our parents are telling us you should drink more water, drink more water. Now you have an app that tells you that. So it's just really convenient.
It is, but it also makes me think that we are now entering into this generation where we have to rely in an app to remind us to have water.
We've heard of the cases of people like literally dying on their seats because they've worked hours and hours on end, have not eaten, have not drank any water at all. If we've already reached an age where those kind of things are happening and no one else when you speak to would listen to them, then maybe this app would help. I think anyone who would remind that person to like get up, walk around and eat, I think that would be really helpful.
I mean, it's interesting because I'm sure there's going to be folks listening out there who are listening to this and saying, this is a ridiculous idea. You don't need an app to be reminded to eat or drink or even clean your teeth.
Mm-hmm.
But maybe some people do.
Yeah. No, because I'm thinking, like, it says that self-care is not even a tool anymore, that it is a way for people to not only survive the way they're living now, but to thrive in the way that they're living now as well. And what she says is that employers and schools and universities, they want in on this. So they've been calling her and contacting her and asking her if they can donate to the Kickstarter campaign if they get memberships for a large number of people in their institutions.
Interesting.
Yeah, because employers, they know that the happier the employees are with this tool, if they can get a free membership to this tool, then the happier they are, then productivity goes up as well. I don't think the bathroom breaks are just specifically for toilets per se. I think it's just prompting someone to get up and go to the bathroom.
Right.
It's basically a way to just take a walk.
Get away from your desk.
Yeah, get away from your desk.
It sounds like the app, the kind of app that I wouldn't tell everyone that I'm downloading, but actually I secretly might have on my phone.
Yeah, I think there are other apps now that do the same thing. But Allo, if I'm not mistaken, Allo is the one that has the most funding and has the most options, if I'm not mistaken.
All right.
I could be wrong.
Interesting story. Let us know if this is something you'd be interested in, folks. Get us on Twitter. We are at BFM Radio, of course. Let us know what you think about this. Is it something you'd download? Is it something you'd use? Do you think it's necessary?
Mm-hmm.
We'd like to have a chat about that. Okay, moving on to next story then. It's about blockchain. We've covered blockchain throughout the last couple of months, one way or another. We've spoken about Ethereum. We've spoken about Bitcoin and some of the other cryptocurrencies that are coming out.
Mm-hmm.
One company that I did not expect to be jumping on the bandwagon is Disney.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
So they've built a blockchain and now its creators are trying to turn it into a commercial platform to compete with Ethereum. So let me explain a little bit. So from animatronics to digital animation, of course, the Walt Disney Company has long been a pioneer in emerging technology, and blockchain technology is no exception. So back in 2014, the Disney's their tech-focused Seattle office, they started building what's now known as Dragon Chain.
Wow.
It's a blockchain protocol designed to allow for more data privacy than is possible on other enterprise-oriented blockchains like Ethereum.
Mm-hmm.
The idea was to develop a secure asset management system to be used internally. However, Disney dropped that project back in 2016 and decided to make it open source. Shortly afterwards, a group of former Disney employees founded the Dragon Chain Foundation, a nonprofit which manages upkeep of this said protocol.
Mm.
Now they're looking to build a commercial business called Dragon Chain Inc. on top of the platform to help other companies quickly and easily start using their blockchain. But first, they need to raise money to do so. And I think of that, and I think Disney, a company, needs to raise money. Does not kind of compute.
Yeah.
Dragon Chain's platform is they're looking at it as a turnkey product, making it easier for companies to build what they want on top of the protocol without investing in expensive and hard-to-find expertise, of course. Whilst it's possible to build security and encryption on top of a public blockchain, it's costly, time-consuming project. With Dragon Chain, the encryption and the obfuscation is already built in. So the idea is, with a lot of these kind of blockchain stuff, it's all about everything that you that has happened, every single transaction that has happened, you can go back in history and you can check out the history of these transactions. Dragon Chain want to kind of do something a little bit slightly different. It's more of a hybrid. Mm-hmm. So they're looking at it means some information is private and some of it is public. So the main difference would be that with Ethereum or any public blockchain, your data is out there. You can do certain things to kind of hide your data. You can encrypt it, but it won't matter in 10 years' time, right? So what they're doing is they're developing this hybrid stuff for things like, let's say, for example, you've bought a really expensive painting and you don't want people to know who's actually bought this really expensive painting. So the idea is to kind of hide that information, be aware that there has been a transaction at some point, but then it kind of disappears from the blockchain. That's the kind of idea behind it. But they are saying that Disney has no involvement in this ICO that they're starting today. I don't know. I mean, do we need another? There's so many coming out right now. But somebody like Disney coming forward and saying, look, we're really interested in this technology. The fact that they dropped it last year and then just this year again, they've started working on it again, makes me think there's clearly movement in the cryptocurrency world, isn't there?
Yeah. No, I was just thinking that I don't think this is mainly for the cryptocurrency world. I think Disney is working on something for themselves.
For sure.
And they want their own technology.
Right.
They're not saying what it is, obviously, and they're saying that other people will adopt it for themselves once it goes down the line. But it makes me wonder what Disney is cooking up in their labs that they're not talking about, but they need this this Dragon Chain to work for them first to secure whatever they have.
If you were to cherry pick ideas, what do you think it would be?
Their streaming service.
That's what I was
going to
say.
Yeah, because they're launching their streaming service in 2019, and they'd want to fight piracy.
Right.
Because what they do now is they've been doing this since the beginning of you know, whenever they've been releasing like home video, they have a vault. And it's something that people joke about. So they put something out there, like, let's say, Pinocchio, for 2 months, and then it goes back into the vault. And it actually goes back into the vault. They pull any physical medium that it's on gets pulled back from stores, and it goes back into the Disney vault, and then it comes out again. It's how they regulate their prices.
Mm.
So if they're putting everything on their streaming service, and then you have people trying to download it off their service, they would need this technology to stop that or to know who's doing what.
Okay, so let's say, for example, on Monday you decided to watch Pinocchio, and then Disney on Tuesday decided that they don't want people watching Pinocchio for that particular week. They could just stop you from doing that.
I guess technically they could. Because before you had like DVDs and Blu-rays and stuff, so it's easier to monitor. You can just take stuff. And piracy was still there.
Yeah.
But now with like, if you're giving people your HD or UHD or 4K copy on their PCs and giving them a way to just download it by hacking into the system, it would be like a major loss for Disney, right?
All right. Good chat. Okay. Take a break. We've got some music coming up. Black Rebel Motorcycle Club with Whatever Happened to Rock and Roll. We'll be back after the break with a story coming out of the Netherlands and something to do with 3D printing.
Yep.
All related. You are listening to Enterprise Biz Bytes on BFM 89.9.
Brewing Financial Minds. BFM 89.9.
Welcome back to Enterprise Biz Bytes. My name is Rich Bradbury in the studio with
Majida Hashim,
Arvind Yuvaraj.
We're on to our third story of the day. If you missed any part of the show so far, you can head over to the website and download the podcast from there, or you can download the app from the App Store, and of course it is available in Google Play. So we had stories about a self-care app that helps us with burnout, allegedly. We then spoke a little bit about how Disney are jumping on the blockchain bandwagon. Now Majida is going to be telling us about how the Royal Navy of the Netherlands will be 3D scanning their ships.
The entire fleet.
Why?
Yeah. So the Marina Bedrijf Koninklijke Marine.
What?
Is the organization responsible for maintaining the vessels of the Royal Netherlands Navy. And they've recently partnered up with Artec 3D to 3D scan the country's entire naval fleet. So the project is a massive undertaking, but once completed, it will dramatically speed up the ship's maintenance and replacement part fabrication. As the as some of the parts don't have manufacturing blueprints or 3D CAD files available, these scans will not only serve as a reference library, but it will also allow Navy to print components of the ship like submarines and mine hunters on demand. Yeah. So they will be able to print their own parts.
Which is pretty cool.
Yeah.
Which is also something that we saw in like sci-fi films, like in the, you know, whether it be Star Trek or Star Wars or whatever.
But the Dutch Navy is actually doing it now. And what they see in the future is that for ships itself to have 3D scanners and printers on board, and they will do replacement of parts on the spot.
Wow.
Yeah.
I remember I was reading a thread somewhere about... what are those things called that catch airplanes when they land? The cables.
Oh, those nets.
Not the nets, but the cables. When they land and the cable catches them, right? And okay. I was reading a thread about how often those pieces are replaced.
Mm-hmm.
And they have to replace them an awful lot more than you think. Like sometimes 3 or 4 times per day.
Mm-hmm. Oh, okay.
Because of the pressure that they're coming under.
Yeah.
And the amount of materials that they go through is huge. Mm-hmm. So something like this and being able, and they were also saying that there are parts on a lot of these vessels that haven't been replaced for years because they can't find the spare parts.
And also because the older models don't have blueprints or the files itself, or because there are so many generations of these fleets that you can't find parts for a specific size, or it'd be really, really expensive.
Right.
So what this 3D scanner does, it's a handheld 3D scanner. It projects light on a grid pattern around the object itself. It calculates the distance between the scanner on the multiple points of the object, and it creates a 3D model of it itself, and you can store it
from a handheld device.
This is pretty cool. So that's pretty cool because you don't have to have the drawing, and you don't have to measure specifically what the parts are, especially those who are the parts that require precision measurements. If you're going to use traditional tools, you take the object and you use all the different tools to measure that one, and you don't know whether or not you get it completely accurate. But 3D scanner can scan it exactly. The way,
because I'd imagine that some of these parts are of a different size per ship, right? Even though they're all made to very similar specifications.
Yeah, that's because of the different fleets. You have the older fleets and the younger, the newer fleets right now. So you can have all of it now stored into a database, and you print on demand when you need it. So you don't have to have a warehouse full of different parts of it. You don't have to make extra ones just in case. As when you need it, you print it out.
I'm imagining there's an entire side of the industry currently quaking in their boots right now. You know, a company that would normally have to be making specialist parts for naval ships, and now there's just a 3D printer below deck.
That someone can hold in their hand, and they're scanning it using their just by holding it in their hand.
Very smart.
Yeah.
But why isn't this used for like other industries? I can't think of
yet.
Actually, earlier in this year, Boeing did announce that they are using 3D printed titanium parts to this construction of the 787 Dreamliner. So you're already 3D printing parts of aircrafts, and I'm sure parts of other vehicles and ships and planes as well. At around the same time, Boeing also, a company called Desktop Metal, debuted a 3D metal printer. And this one is definitely going to be for industrial use.
I mean, I remember when Jeff Sandu first bought his 3D printer and he ended up printing the Batman logo. You know, I wonder if now... I mean, this is what we were expecting, wasn't it?
Yeah.
When we talked about 3D printing in its kind of inception. Hopefully, you know, we were looking at stuff like, you know, parts being reproduced, and, you know, body parts even is another one that we've looked at and spoken about.
And customized parts, especially those that are really difficult to fit if you just buy parts off the shelf, or would be really expensive to buy customized parts yourself. If you already have the model of it and programmed into the computer, and you print it specifically this one piece that you need to replace a part, then it's much cheaper, actually.
Yeah. You know what it can be used for? The medical field.
Yeah.
Oh, for sure.
Imagine
if
you had like I don't know, maybe the stuff that they have in hospitals is already more advanced. It can like see stuff in your body that these scanners cannot see. But imagine if these scanners can like pick up, like it has to scan even the tiniest gears and the nuts and bolts and stuff. And if it can do it for like the human body, like a modified version, and get like a complete 3D image of a person's body.
You just want to scan yourself.
That's, yeah, is that what you're scan saying? Yourself, and then doctors could take them out like layer by layer and see what's wrong.
This is what his kidney looks like, yeah. Like that.
Yeah. Interesting about this article is that it's adopted by the Dutch Navy itself to scan its entire fleet. So they obviously already see military application for this.
Yeah.
And it's a huge task because they've got all kinds of ships and submarines and all. I'm waiting for other countries to jump on board because they're going to have 3D printers on their ships.
Yeah, countries who have proper security for their servers. Yeah. Because if you have like a whole file full of your 3D
and
images of
your ship.
Yeah, of every ship and plane and weapon that you have, then you don't want someone like sneaking in and getting all those models.
Well, for sure. I mean, it would show your weaknesses. It would show your kind of technology that people might not know you've got. Ooh, that's a good thought, actually. Yeah. Right, maybe they could protect it with blockchain technology.
Maybe. Oh, Disney's blockchain. Disney's Dragon Chain.
Dragon Chain, yeah. Okay, just to go back to the story that we kicked off with, we briefly mentioned a story about an app available called, it's a self-care app that helps you with burnout. We've had a tweet from Goshen who says, will these people follow when the app prompts them since they're so busy? It's a matter of self-discipline.
Yeah.
That's kind of what we said, right?
That's true. Yeah. So, because some people, when people tell us go drink water, it doesn't mean that we'll get up and go and drink water.
No, you guys remind me all the damn time.
Yeah, which is funny because it's what the person made, Disco, her name, she says that it's not about adding more things to your list. It's not about having a million things to do with this included. It's about being on top of all those million things that you already have to do.
And not feeling overwhelmed.
Mm, mm, mm.
All right, we have to take a very short break with some music coming up from Madness with Night Boat to Cairo. Do you see what we did? We had...
Oh, yeah.
Anyway, we'll be right back after these messages with a story about Spotify. Do not go anywhere. You're listening to Enterprise Biz Bytes here on BFM 89.9.
Business, finance, and more. BFM 89.9.
Welcome back to Enterprise Biz Bytes. My name is Rich Bradbury in the studio with
Arvind Yuvaraj
and Majida Hashim.
Just before we move on to our final story, just indulge us at home a little bit, folks. If you are not driving right now and you have the opportunity to take out your phone and you are using Spotify, there's a new thing on there. It's called Your Time Capsule. Just while we tell you this story, head over to Your Time Capsule, open it up, and have a look at some of the songs that are in there before we discuss. Majida is going to tell us this story now. Tell us a little bit more about this new feature that Spotify just rolled out.
So now if you have your app open, and you will now have a playlist, and it is Spotify's new feature that predicts the music that you loved in high school.
Oh dear.
That's what this time capsule is like. So much like Spotify's Release Radar playlist that uses your listening habits to predict which newly released music you'll like, this new feature, your time capsule, makes an even bolder bet. It can predict what songs you'll love to listen to while you are in high school.
That's a very bold claim. Could potentially be embarrassing. Mm-hmm. And or...
I'm sure it did. Yeah, no, sorry. I'm sure it will be embarrassing.
So based on your age and location, because Spotify is connected to your Facebook, Spotify's algorithm analyzes your current listening trends and dials it back to analyze what you would have listened to when you were a teenager. The algorithm is likely relies on the data that's similar to other listeners. So things that you listen now that you probably listen to when you were a teenager, and if you had listened to that those kind of songs, what you would also like when you were a teenager in that generation.
Okay, enough with the chit-chat then, right?
Yeah.
So let's be honest. We all had a little go at it earlier on. We checked our own Spotify playlists to see how accurate it was. And I think, Majida, with it being your story, you should probably lead with some of the recommendations.
So the playlist that I was generated for me is a mixed bag. There are some that I'm pretty proud of to say, then there are some that I'm a little... That does make me cringe.
But how accurate is it to the period that you were attending high school?
On a scale of 1 to 10, 10 being like super accurate.
I would go like 7.
Okay.
It's not completely accurate, but it is pretty much there. There are a lot of songs there that I did listen to that I would have listened to, and it does bring back memories.
Is it safe enough to share
some of them that I'm pretty proud of that I'm reading off now that does make me want to listen to it now. So I have some Bon Jovi on it, Skid Row, Jeff Buckley, I have Gin Blossoms, I have some Michael Jackson and White Snake.
Ooh.
But in the mix, I also have Boys to Men, Casey and JoJo.
This is stuff that you would have heard, though, and passing on the radio somewhere, right?
Yeah.
So you can kind of put it off.
I think my generation did listen to that. I have, as yet, All for One.
Oh,
I
no.
Mean, my generation did listen to this song. Mm. It was probably on the radio that I listened to it a couple of times.
Yeah.
It
yeah.
was all the time. So it would be the kind of songs that if you were listening to it, these songs, you would also have listened to those songs.
All right.
So I did hear it.
Arvin, then. Come on.
Yeah.
Hit me with what
you
got.
You know, it's kind of, it's not just about looking for songs that were like popular in the 90s or anything. It has to, Spotify's algorithm actually has to know what you listen to now and then kind of go back to like what you would have been listening to.
It has to be fairly accurate.
Yeah. And mine's like, I would give it a 9.
Right.
9 in a scale of 1 to 10, I'd give it a 9. There's Linkin Park's in there because, you know, of course. The Goo Goo Dolls, Iris is there. So Iris is like the song. If you don't know the words to Iris, then you didn't grow up in the 90s.
Yeah.
Do you know he wrote that song in like 10 minutes?
10 minutes?
Yeah.
For the movie?
Yeah.
That the City of Angels.
Wow.
That song he wrote in 10 minutes. Yeah.
Wow.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah.
And people sing it. People have not stopped singing that song. There's Dashboard Confessional, Vindicated. That's a nice one.
Mm.
The Verve is there. Bittersweet Symphony. But then there's 911. There's
nice.
Body Shaking there. I'm not going to deny that I have them on cassette. I was 12 or 11.
Of course. You know? Nobody's going to hold it against you.
Limp Bizkit is there.
Right.
Rolling is there. I had them on CD.
Mm-hmm.
So, there's also like Soundgarden, Black Hole Sun, there's Mew, System of a Down, Toxicity, which is interesting because it mixes with like the boy band phase, and then all of a sudden I was introduced to metal and rock and stuff, and then there was like this gap, like overnight it jumped onto like System of a Down and Fuel and Slipknot all of a sudden showed up on my list.
Right.
Yeah, so
it's accurate.
It's very accurate.
Mm-hmm.
Yep, yeah. I'm going to give mine a 9 as well, because it starts off ironically with Guns N' Roses' Patience, who I listened to, and then grunge entered my life, and then of course my playlist now reads like what came out of Seattle in the 90s. So it's Nirvana, there's Pearl Jam, there's Temple of the Dog, and then it moves on to Red Hot Chili Peppers. Prince makes an appearance in there as well. Some Stone Temple Pilots, some Bob Marley, a little bit of Dire Straits, some Blind Melon, even a Cyndi Lauper track. There is also some Pixies. It's so accurate.
Mm-hmm.
Apart from, there's a track in here that I cannot stand from Extreme, More Than Words. I have no idea how it's in my playlist, but the thing is, I know an awful lot of people love that track.
Mm-hmm.
And during the period that I was growing up in high school, that would have been played everywhere.
Yeah, see, because it's giving you like Guns N' Roses, and then you also have Prince. So it has to know you now to actually know what you listened to back then. If not, it wouldn't link this and that together. When is Prince ever going to show up in like a Guns N' Roses concert or even like in a 5 mile radius from them?
Yeah.
Didn't you also have like a Malay song?
I did.
Your list?
Actually,
See, so that's like Spotify trying to localize.
I had two or three of that were that they confused me at the end. Not only that, but it was an explicit lyric warning on a P. Ramlee track.
Ooh,
wow.
Bad boy.
So I don't know why that was. And I've got some Iklim in there, and I've got some Rafia Buang in there, and some Suderman in there.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, it's trying to kind of say, you know, I know where you live right now.
Yeah.
This is probably the stuff you might have listened to if you grew up during that period.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Accurate. Yeah, for sure. Try it out, folks at home.
Yeah.
Let us know what you think. It's really interesting. We kind of want to hear some of your embarrassing stuff as well.
Yeah, I like the idea that they call it time capsule. So if you were actually to put on the playlist and you close your eyes, you would be listening to what the time was, whether or not you liked the song, didn't like the song. But this was the song of your generation when you were growing up.
Yeah.
So that was really interesting.
The interesting thing is to see if it evolves over time as well.
Yeah.
So like what happens next week and what happens a week afterwards to see if it's any different.
Did whether the algorithm... changes with you.
Yeah.
I'm going to listen to this in the car. The car's going to become a DeLorean. And I'm going to put this and I'm going to go back to like... back to like 1998 or something.
It's really a nice way to start the week, actually, just to think back on you know, more innocent days.
Absolutely. I don't know if I was more innocent back then or now.
A teenager, no.
No, definitely not. Anyway, do get in touch. Let us know what's popped up on your Time Capsule playlist if you're interested. We are at BFM Radio on Twitter, of course. You can get us on WhatsApp, 018-789-8899. When we come back, telling you of some of the events that you might want to attend this week and a little bit about what's coming up after our show. Time for a short break. Some music coming up from Feist. It is My Moon, My Man here on BFM 89.9.
Bring forth money. BFM
89.9.
Welcome back to Enterprise BizBytes here on BFM 89.9. I'm Rich Bradbury in the studio with
Majida Hashim,
Arvind Yuvaraj.
We finished with the stories for today's show, but we got some events that you might want to check out this week. First up, Arvind, what do you have for me?
Yeah, so there's this thing called lawyerless property sales and purchase, or in other words, how to buy or sell a house without a lawyer, which is super interesting.
Yeah, right? Maybe super dangerous, though.
Yeah, for the lawyers listening. Right. But this is by the Campus Kini, the Malaysia Kini guys. They have like courses like this every now and then. So this course is happening on the 7th of October, which is a Saturday. It starts at 9 a.m., should finish by 3. This course will teach you the basics of a sales and purchase agreement, common lawyer jargon, and what they mean to the layperson, and how to protect yourself if someone breaches the agreement.
Okay.
So the person speaking at the event will be Shanmuga Kaneslingam. He's a partner at Kaneslingam & Co. Tickets are at 500 ringgit, exclusive of GST. It is HRDF claimable, so that's a good thing. And if you want more info about this, you can visit campus.malaysiakini.com or you can email adam@malaysiakini.com. This looks like a really interesting course for anyone who wants to sell a house or buy a house. And just even if they don't want to eliminate the lawyer from the equation, they get to know what all these complicated terms mean in the process.
Interesting stuff. Majida, what do you have for me?
Yep, I also have event called All You Need to Know About Starting Your Own Drip Campaign. The program is on Thursday, which is 5th of October, from 9:30 in the morning to 12 noon. It's located at the BFM Edge at Work in Glow Damansara. Drip campaign is actually a series of marketing emails which is sent automatically on schedule, but it is designed in such a way that it is used to convert disengaged and annoyed users into customers.
Interesting.
Yeah, so this half-day hands-on workshop with GetResponse will where you will learn how to set up your own drip campaign and all you need to know about integrating it into your marketing strategy and the common misconceptions that you encounter in drip campaigns. The speaker is Melissa Lee, head of Malaysia for GetResponse. The early bird tickets are already sold out, so there's only the regular price tickets at 21 ringgit. For more information, you can go to bfmedge.ptix.com.
All right.
Yeah. Yeah. And there was also one more that you mentioned very quickly.
So the Magic Academy Symposium 2017, MA 2017, is going on this week. It's going on from October 4th to 7th. The theme this year is Disruptive Entrepreneurship. It's interesting because we've got some really interesting speakers this year that includes people. We have Adam Burmeister from Pinterest. I'm going through some of the speakers list yeah. that we have this year. We have Bron Pellery from Pixel Play.
Oh, yes. Bront.
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah. Bront. Yeah. Bront. And I'm scrolling through. Let's see some of the... We have Connor Zwick from Speakeasy Labs. Actually also have the winner... from last year's The Venture, Neil from...
The Thai fellow.
Yeah, from Sime Organic. So it's really interesting to see the journey he's been through. The tickets are still available. You can go to the MA 2017 website, ma2017.mymagic.my, and you can register over there.
Lovely stuff. Right, that's the end of the show. If you did miss any part of the show, of course, you can catch up the podcast on the app. Download the app from the Apple App Store, of course, Google Play. Quickly running through the stories we covered, we started off with...
A self-care app that wants to help you with burnout.
We then spoke about how Disney are jumping on the blockchain bandwagon. Majida?
Yep, I also spoke about how the Royal Dutch Navy is 3D printing, 3D scanning all their ships so that it will be easier to print out parts on demand.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And then we finished off with a wonderful
time capsule feature by Spotify that predicts the music that you would have loved in high school and replays it for you in this new playlist that you can listen to all week long.
Sounds very, very cool. But do not go anywhere, of course. Coming up after the 1 o'clock news, we have a Breakfast Grill replay. It's a fiery one, this. It's getting quite a few tweets here on the old Twitter. It was Bruce Gale, who's the author of The Economic Reform in Malaysia, The Contribution of Najibnomics. So they discussed Najibnomics, the key topic that is brought forward by the University author Bruce Gale in his latest book, Economic Reform in Malaysia, The Contribution of Najibnomics. In his book, he argued that the state of the Malaysian economy is not as dire as it seems, and in fact has prospered under the leadership of Prime Minister Najib Razak. That's at 1 o'clock, and around 1:30, if you still want something to listen to, Raise Your Game has a topic called Shoot the Boss. Mm-hmm. Sounds very interesting. Mm-hmm. And it is with Mushtaq Al-Attabi. He's the provost and CEO of Heriot Watt University. So when it comes to success, we often only consider academic intelligence to be a factor. However, emotional intelligence and understanding not only how to work with others, but how to work with yourself is crucial. So Mushtaq Al-Attabi, the author of Shoot the Boss, shares with us his knowledge of leading with stories in the age of emotional intelligence. Right, wow. So there you go. Mm-hmm. Interesting stuff to start off your Monday with. Hope you have a great week. We'll be back, of course, tomorrow. Same time, same place at noon. On behalf of Arvind Yuvaraj and Majid Hashim, my name is Richard Bradbury. I keep saying has been, right?
It still is, isn't it?
It still is. Okay. Mm-hmm. Richard Bradbury, of course, you are listening to Enterprise BizBytes on BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.